The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started. Today is 6:30, 2013, June 30th, 2013. If you're listening to this the first time it's being played, and it's whatever time it is, if you're listening to it on your own timing. So I'm actually recording this in advance. I'm recording this on June 27th because I will be out enjoying my life, getting to see a friend of mine in a play this coming Sunday the 30th. And so I'm doing this in advance. Welcome, whether you're listening to it the first time it's recorded or this after that. I appreciate your presence here, and I'm tapping into all of your energies already. And in doing that more fully, we will do what we always do with these programs, which is make those connections to begin. So, take a deep breath. Just allow your breathing to deepen. And give yourself that conscious permission to open into a greater experience of your own mastery. Give yourself that permission to open up and allow your divinity to come forth, your soul, your higher self, your divine essence, whatever term makes the most sense to you. And open up in whatever way works best for you. Some find it best through the heart, some through the solar plexus, some through the Dantian or the soul star. Some through their whole body, or even their emotional body. But whatever way works best for you, you're simply opening up to allow yourself to experience this mastery expanding in all levels of you. Your physicality, your emotionality, your mentality, every level of your energy field, including filling your aura completely, and on out, flowing into all of your relationships, empowering each one of them more fully, empowering yourself within each one of them more fully. And just know that that's going to continue to be open throughout the time that we share here together. Very good. Oh, all right. Let's move on, make the next set of connections. And this is with our Mother Earth, as always. Opening up to receive her love and support. And so you can do that through the chakras in the feet or your root chakra. Do it through the cells of your skin. Whatever way works best for you. Some other way if you like. Through your entire physical body if you like, perhaps. And again, what you're doing is just stepping into that intention to open to receive the energy of her love and support. To fill you up on the physical, on the emotional, on the mental levels, to fill your entire aura, your entire energy field, and indeed to flow out into all of your relationships, supporting each and every one of them in and from a more grounded place, a more connected place, a more present in your body place. And what's more, knowing that this is going to remain open to this degree throughout the time that we share here together, we open to the next level, which is to connect with those beings of light who are not in a physical body right now, not down here on planet Earth the way that we are, our guides, our angels, the spiritual teachers and ascended masters, other beings of light that you may be connected with that are here supporting you as you walk through this lifetime. And so this is just about opening up to allow their love and support to flow into you. And you can open, again, in whatever way works best for you, through the heart, through the third eye, through the crown, through some other pathways, or through your entire energy field, if you like. Whatever works best for you. Allowing that love and support to flow in and fill you at the physical, the emotional and mental levels, filling your entire aura, your entire energy field, and again, flowing out into all of your relationships so that you can feel that support whenever you're interacting in that relationship, or even just thinking about it. And allow yourself to know that this is going to remain throughout the time that we're connected here today. It's going to remain this open all the way through. And we move on to the next level, which is connecting to each other, connecting to this entire exposing the Masters Within community. And I believe that connection is larger today than usual. And as we open up into it, what we're connecting with is the shared intention to move into greater empowerment, to move into greater degrees of mastery within ourselves, within our own energy fields, and within all of our relationships. And so that shared intention has a mass consciousness, and that mass consciousness is what we are tapping into right now, what we are opening up to allow to flow. And this image may not be one that all of you like, but it just showed up now, so I'm going to share it. We want to drink that in the way frat boys drink in beer at a kegger. Just taking it in, not quite to the point that it makes us sick, but definitely to the point that it fills us up. And knowing that we can connect with that support all the way through, that we can expand that sense that we feel supported in walking forward by connecting into this community. But it's an empowerment, not an antics. So we can let the frat boy image go. Allowing ourselves to move into that space of receiving that degree of support and letting that fill us physically, emotionally, mentally, filling the entire energy field, our aura, and again, flowing out into all of our relationships. And we know that this connection with this mass consciousness, with this community, will remain open to this degree, at least throughout the time we share here today. And let's move on to open up the next set of connections. And this set of connections is with all the light workers on the planet. In other words, everyone who shares that same basic intention to move into empowerment, to move into self-mastery, to move into divine connection. And so this is a massive, massive ball of energy of that intention to step into empowerment that we're tapping into here now and opening up to receive. And so once more, just allow yourself to open in whatever way feels safest and best for you, to the degree that feels safest and best, and allow that to fill, that energy to fill your physical, your emotional, and your mental bodies, to fill your aura and your entire energy field, and to flow on out into all of the energies of your interactions with others, your relationships. And let your breathing really expand to take this in. We are not, as much as it may feel like it sometimes, especially when we are in our triggering, we are not having to do this alone. And so that's a big part of the reason why they have me open up each one of these programs this way, to connect us all together and to tap into that support that's always available in a much more conscious way. And so now we're going to step out and expand to the largest community here, at least at the physical level, or the mass consciousness of humanity level, because we're going to connect with all of humanity. But we're going to connect with a particular part of the mass consciousness of humanity, and that part is the part where the desire and the belief that things can be better exists, where the desire and the belief that we actually can connect with the divine exists. And that's what we're opening up into, that energy that supports and moves toward improvement, that supports and moves toward empowerment and divine connection. And we're going to allow ourselves to take that energy in, filling our physical, our emotional, and our mental bodies, flowing into and filling our entire aura, our energy field, and on out into all of those connections, all of those connections that are our relationships. And so right back to the rest of humanity. And so every time we're in connection with others, when we have this open, when we are running this energy, we're also supporting them and connecting with that pathway toward empowerment and divine connection and betterment or improvement. So allow yourself to know that all of these connections are going to remain open throughout the time that we share here today. And allow yourself to breathe into that and accept it as fully as you're able at this point. And honor yourself for connecting here, for being willing to move forward in this way, to step into these intentions, whether it's the first time listening or whether you've listened to every one of the programs so far, this is number 98, so whether you've listened to every single one of them, you are most welcome here, and I'm grateful for your presence. And today, as the email that I sent out alluded to, today I'm going to be announcing what I'm doing to celebrate the 100th program, which is coming in a couple of weeks here. At least that's my current intention, is to do a live program next week, a live program the week after, which gets me to number 100, and then a live program with the 101st show. And what I'm going to be doing to celebrate is I'm going to be giving away a tremendous amount of work. And I'd like to invite you to participate, to help me celebrate in this way. And what that encompasses, I'll be giving away one major prize, and I don't know, maybe minor things each of these weeks, but definitely one major one each of the next three programs, the 99th, 100th, and 101st program. And each one of them, if you were to pay for it instead of receiving it as the prize, would be worth over $1,000. And they vary. I will get into the details of what they are toward the end of the program today, but it's going to be easy to join. All you have to do is pay attention to the rest of the program here. At some point, I'm going to say, this is the word or this is the phrase that you need to send me an email to let me know you were listening today, and that will enter you in the drawing for next week. Then next week, I will give you another word or phrase that will enter you in the drawing for the third week. And that week, on the 100th program, I will give you the final word or phrase that will enter you in the drawing. If you send the email in, that will be drawn that final week. And so I'm not going to go into all the details right now. I want to get into what we're talking about here. But I just want to put that up front, that it's going to be that easy. All you have to do is listen, write that word or phrase down, and email it to me before, oh, let's say, well, by Saturday at midnight Eastern Daylight Time each week. So if you're sending an email in from this program, you want to have it into me by Saturday, July 6th at 12 midnight Eastern Daylight Time. And that way I will have time on Sunday before the program to get everything organized so that I can have the drawing. So it's that easy. An email to enter, and you need to have the right word or the right phrase. I'm going to put up a page, very small page on the website, that will have all of the details for the entry and all of the details about winning. It's just going to be a random pick. Your odds of winning are based entirely on how many people join us. And I've taken enough time with this right now. So let's jump into the topic. And the topic today is divine timing. Speaking of timing, now breathe into that. And I had a very interesting session the other day with someone. And this topic came up. In fact, it came up as a question. Is it possible to change divine timing? And what was given in answer to that, I thought was just extremely powerful, certainly something I'd never heard before. And I've been sitting with it since and going on, exploring the idea since, and knowing that I was going to be talking about it today because it was just that strong. It just jumped in and said, hey, this is the next radio program. So, and I'll certainly be expanding on what was said within that particular session. But what I want to start with here was an idea that was actually kind of shocking when it came to me. Now, this was not said, I don't believe, in the session itself, but it came to me afterwards, which is this, that a lot of us, we actually tend to use divine timing as either an excuse or as a label that might be better expressed as spiritual victimhood. We're being victimized by God or the angels or whoever. I don't have what I want yet because it's not divine timing. Wah, boo-hoo. And most people, when they're saying divine timing, they're not actually feeling that to a huge degree. But think about it. You know, there's two main times when I hear people talking about divine timing. One is when the magic has happened and something has fallen into place, or it's that synchronicity when someone comes into our life or they show up on our doorstep and it's completely out of the blue as far as our consciousness is concerned, and yet it's so perfect. It aligns exactly with what we're desiring in that moment, or exactly with what we're needing in that moment, or exactly with what we were looking for in that moment but didn't even know we were looking for. And so it has this sense of freedom and perfection in it. And that's one side of divine timing, as many of us, if not most of us, think of it. But the other side, and this is where I'm talking about where I started, that idea of it being an excuse or that idea of it being spiritual victimhood, is that we're talking about divine timing or it not being divine timing because something hasn't happened yet. And that was a very different way of looking at it. Now, again, not everyone is going to feel crushed by that, but we kind of use that phrase to get over our disappointment, if you will. Oh, it's not divine timing, or it must not be divine timing. Or other times it gets used is when we're consoling someone because something hasn't happened yet. But again, we're consoling them because they're feeling bad about not having it yet. And divine timing in that sense, is an acknowledgement that, or it's almost a wishful thinking, a stepping into, but it's coming. It's not yet divine timing, but it's coming. And that, again, gets back around to that idea for me of excuse related to this. And what do I mean by that? That we use it as an excuse. Well, we're trying to excuse ourselves for not having taken the steps to get us there. Now, I believe that a lot of the time, this is very related to that underlying sense, that underlying experience of unworthiness that most of us are walking around with to some degree or another. And so we use divine timing, it's not there yet, as a way to let ourselves off the hook. Now, I'm not saying that we should be on the hook or blaming ourselves because something hasn't happened yet. But when we're using it as an excuse that it's not divine timing yet, I think for me personally, so I'll talk about me right now. For me personally, I've used that as a divine stamp of approval for not taking action. Now, I believe we always do the best that we can in every moment. I believe that to the core of my being. But some parts of me don't believe that. They believe that I'm lazy. They believe that I'm not good enough. They believe that I'm screwing up. They believe that everything that hasn't worked out the way I wanted it to is because I did something wrong or simply because I'm not good enough. And that if I had put forth more effort, things would have turned out differently. And so I'm trying to avoid going into that pain, that self-judgment, by using divine timing when something hasn't happened in the way or in the timing I would have liked for it to happen. And I believe a lot of us do that. Well, why wouldn't we? We don't want to feel like crap. We don't want to go into the pain. We don't want to be in our self-judgment. So if I can use divine timing, that concept, that idea, as a safety from my own self-judgment, wasn't that a good thing? Well, you might think so. And I don't know. I believe that until this concept showed up for me in this way, it was a protection I was using. But it was not me being in my power about manifesting my life. It was me trying to avoid that pain and self-judgment for my life not being the way I wanted it to be, or for the specific things that had happened to me that were not by my conscious choice. And perhaps to save me future judgment from trying to manifest things that my unworthiness would say I was going to screw up anyway. If I did manage to manifest it, I was just going to lose it. I was just going to cause it to fall apart or have something else go wrong, so I couldn't hold on to it, so I couldn't keep it. And so that to me is what I'm talking about here, in being in that place of using it as an excuse or experiencing it as spiritual victimhood. It's like I'm a victim of my own self-judgment that I am afraid to look at. And so I use divine timing to excuse my not looking at it or dealing with it. Now, again, I don't believe in trying to force my way through any issues. I don't believe in trying to force or try to help clients by forcing them to look at issues when they're not ready for them, when it's not their divine timing to deal with them. So this is a complex one. It's a subtle one. This is not an easy thing to necessarily get a handle on. But But it's also related, and this might help clarify the piece about spiritual victimhood and an excuse. A phrase that for a while I used to hear all the time. I haven't heard it in a long time coming out of anybody else's mouth. And maybe that's just because I carry an energy that, oh, I hate this phrase. which is this phrase, let go and let God. Oh, my God. That phrase is like fingernails on a blackboard to me. And I need to explain that because it seems fairly innocuous. And I believe I've talked about this on a previous program or two, maybe even more. But why does that phrase bother me? Well, because I believe that we are here to step into co-creation. That we're here walking this path into empowerment, into our experience of divinity, into our mastery. What does that mean, mastery or empowerment? Well, empowerment or mastery to me are about the freedom to choose. Not just the permission to choose from the rest of the world, but the freedom within myself to choose my moment, to choose what I'm creating in the direction of, to choose how I engage with the world, to choose what to do when I get triggered. I don't believe necessarily that empowerment means I won't get triggered anymore. It means that when I do get triggered, I don't just go into the reaction. I go into, oh, here's an opportunity for me to do some healing. And so that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about empowerment and what it means to be walking this path, is moving into that place of freedom to choose, of free will, of empowerment. But let go and let God? While I get the underlying idea of it, which is stop pushing, stop trying to force something to happen, surrender. There's lots of good ways to surrender, but I don't believe that one of them is to put it all in God's hands, because that is a perspective of victimhood. Let go, let God. God's going to do it for you. If it doesn't happen, it's because it wasn't right to happen. Well, if you leave it entirely up to divinity, it's not going to happen. You have to put some energy into it. We have to put energy into it. If nothing else, breathing into and feeling our desire for it. Because the universe operates almost like, well, the Hindi or Indian chant that's call and response. We put out the call. We express our desire. We tell the universe, this is what I choose. And then we get something back, the response. The response comes back. And we go, oh, that's not what I really wanted. Or that's what I said I wanted, but it doesn't feel like I thought it would, etc. And so that's manifestation. A desire comes up, we put out the energy, and something comes back from the universe. If we're not doing that, we're not doing much of anything. And it can be as literal as, I'd really like to have this kind of food. Well, if I don't make it or call the restaurant where they make it or go to the restaurant where they make it or visit a friend who I know makes it really well and ask them to make it for me, I'm not going to eat it just because I desire it. Not going to happen. I can pray to God until I'm blue in the face to bring me a bean burrito. But that's going to be a pretty extreme case if my only effort is prayer for that burrito to actually show up in my life, especially in time for the next meal, whenever that might be. And if it doesn't happen, well, I can just say, well, it's not God's will. But I'm not taking any action other than the prayer to get that burrito. I didn't buy it at the grocery store. I'm not going to the restaurant. I'm not even willing to make a phone call to find a restaurant that delivers it. And so manifestation is about to me, that co-creative energy of putting out that call. But it's not just putting out the call. It's not just making that statement. It's putting the energy into it. It's feeding it, feeding the manifestation. And so let go and let God. Well, you can blame God when you don't get it. It's not God's will. Okay? But why were we given free will? Why do we have free will if we're supposed to just turn it over to God? I don't get that. That doesn't make sense to me. And the other piece of this is that it's all focused on that idea of God outside the self. Whereas this path that I'm walking and this path that I think you're walking, or you wouldn't be listening here, is a path of connecting with the divinity within us, opening into the divinity within us, and experiencing the merge of what we might think of as our personality with our divinity. So when I say co-creation, the first level of co-creation is within ourselves. All the things that we have defined as ourselves so far, being energized by our divinity and putting that energy out as co-creative to bring back whatever it is that is the next thing. And that's a very different thing than let go and let God, the old guy with the long beard sitting in the chair up in heaven, or the young guy with the beard that got killed on the cross, or any other version of God or goddess. One of the things that's come through in channeling repeatedly over the years, and certainly this is not unique to my channeling, I've read it in other places, is that because this is a free will planet, those spiritual beings, guides, angels, teachers, ascended masters, etc., even the ETs, they don't have permission to intercede on our behalf. In other words, they can't just come down, wave the magic wand, and fix everything in our lives. Because we, as divine souls, have free will. Part of what prayer is saying, come into partnership with me. I'm open to receiving your help. That's another piece of why we connect with Mother Earth, with those divine beings. At the beginning of this program each week, is to say, yes, thank you. I accept your love and support. I'll accept that energy to help me move forward on my path. But it takes opening up in that way to be able to receive it. They can't force it down our throats. They can't be like the relative that's always giving you presents you don't want. If you haven't asked for it consciously, directly, or at the very least, put out energy of desire, it's not coming because you haven't said yes to it yet. Which brings me more directly to this idea of divine timing, or back to this idea of divine timing. And what was talked about was fascinating, because the question that was asked was, can we change divine timing? And the answer was, essentially, yes and no, although they were much more forceful when they said it. And they described it in various ways in talking about this and answering that question. Number one is that divine timing cannot be changed if what you mean by that, or what is in your consciousness by that, is that it can't just be manipulated by your desire. Desiring something more is not going to change the divine timing. However, they did say that divine timing can be changed very directly if what you mean by that is that you're moving the blocks out of the way of whatever the experience is that you're desiring to have. Let me bring that through in a slightly different way of saying it. That you can change divine timing by moving the blocks that you currently have, the energetic patterns is another way to say that, that you currently have that are in the way of you already experiencing it. Why? Why? Well, let's talk a little bit about manifestation in general. If we have a desire for something and we're not already experiencing it, then it means that we have energetic patterns that are in the way of it to some degree. Now, I'll use a stupid example. Someone goes out to a bar and wants to pick up someone just to spend the night with. All right? Or let me rephrase that. Backtrack. Rewind. Someone wishes to spend the night with someone else, and they don't have any way to do that. They don't have a pattern. They don't have any friends to call. They don't have a lover. They don't have a spouse. They don't have anyone in particular to contact. So in order to spend the night with someone, they would have to meet that person. But they don't have habits of going out to do things to meet people. And so they would have to step outside of their pattern in order to get their desire fulfilled. They would have to make choices. And just having the desire to spend time with someone is not enough. It's not going to bring that being to them. They're going to have to take some actions. Well, in order to meet that person, any person to spend the night with, they're going to have to deal with moving some energy about their discomfort with doing any of those things, whether it's going to a bar or going to the library, whether it's going to a restaurant or a movie, any place you can go that you can meet somebody else. If they're uncomfortable, let's say this person has severe agoraphobia, doesn't even like to leave the house, then they're going to have some patterns to overcome to fulfill that desire. Let me backtrack and give you another phrase that they said in that channeling when the question was brought up, which I thought this was just an amazing phrase. That as long as we have blocks to a certain experience, then the divine timing for experiencing that thing is in the infinite never. In the infinite never. Wow, that's extreme. That's intense. What does that mean? What did I take that to mean? I took that to mean that we're not moving closer to it. We have the desire, but we're not choosing to do anything to move toward that desire, then we will never have the experience of the fulfillment of that desire. Make sense? All right. But that second part, it can't be changed by just manipulating desire and desiring it more, but it can be changed if we move those blocks. So let's flip that around and make it stronger. Because moving the blocks is always going to change the divine time. It's always going to change it. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's look at manifestation a little more closely. Manifestation, to me, unlike what they say in The Secret, where you put it out and it automatically comes back, manifestation is the process of connecting with desire, putting it out, having the energetic blocks that have prevented us from having that desire already in our experience, having those blocks come to the surface, those energetic patterns that have prevented us come to the surface so that we can work with them and change them, move them out, release them, clear them, heal them. Whatever framework makes most sense to you, we're shifting the energies that have previously been in the way of that experience, or we would have already had the experience. Because just having the desire puts out energy toward the experience. But by itself, desire is not enough to bring it back. Unless we don't have any blocks. And that's the key. Desire puts out energy and it's clear. But often, for instance, our blocks consist of something built upon or built on top of that energy of I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And so we put out that energy, and it doesn't happen immediately. It doesn't happen the way most of us think about divine timing. And so what happens? We doubt. Oh, it's not going to happen. Poof, I just put out that doubt, and that doubt went out there. And if that energy was coming back from my desire, that doubt just went out there and slammed into it, like a head-on collision. That's not coming back anymore, because I just slammed it with my doubt. I slammed it with my inability to believe or conceive or perceive that it was possible for me to have it. And so that needs to be worked with if we want that desire to go out and come back with a free line to get back to manifest our experience. Take a deep breath. Now, part of the problem here, as they laid it out in that session, in the answer to the question, was that we tend to think of divine timing, as I said earlier, as that part of our experience when everything falls into place. Oh, it was just perfect. It happened. And yet, how many things did we have to do to get to that place where that could happen? How much energy had we moved around that previously? How many things did we have to clear? How many issues? How many beliefs? Let's talk about one that's big right now. People who are having issues with finances, desiring to get out of debt, desiring to get a better job, desiring. If we don't work with our sense of unworthiness, we're not going to shift those energies. We're not going to get into a different pattern, into a new place. So, one of the things that they said, and I'm going to pause here because time's getting short. I need to finish talking about the contest a little bit, the drawings over the next 3 weeks, and then do a little bit of channeling. But the last thing I want to leave with here, and I do intend to continue this next week because I think it's very important and very powerful, is that that way of looking at divine timing, that it's when things fall into place, doesn't take into consideration that divinity is everything, including every aspect of time. Divine timing is not just the product of manifestation. It's the process of manifestation. And so that's where I'm going to pick up next time, with the process of manifestation, the process of divine timing, and look at that further. So, take a deep breath, if you will. And let me take a quick moment here to go back into this drawing. So I want to talk just briefly about the three things that right now I'm looking at as the prizes, the drawings, the what you're going to win. First, now, this is not in order of when they're going to be drawn. In fact, I don't know when which one of these is going to be drawn. I'm going to draw that as well. So next week, I will first draw to decide which one of these three is going to be the prize that is being given away that week, and then I will do the drawing for the winner. But the first one of these that I'm going to talk about here is a high percentage, 16 out of the 26 gateway activations as downloads. You'll be able to download each one of them. Each one of these is worth $66 a piece. The value for the whole prize is $1,056. Now, some of you are saying, but I did all the gateway activations. All right. If you win and you've done the gateway activations, or you've done more than 10 of them, which means I don't have 16 to give you, then I will let you shift so that you could have one of the other two prizes if you prefer. All right. So that's the first one. The second one, right now I'm in the midst of doing the series, each new moon, of the quickening. And we're six in. There's six more to go. And each one of these has a private session that's up about a half hour long once a month that goes with it. The value for this is somewhere between, depending on how you paid for it, how you would pay for it. Obviously, if you win it, you're not paying for it, is somewhere between $1,032 and $1,392. And this series, the Gateway Activations, and you get to choose which 16 you want in the Gateway Activations, they are about opening up specific energies in your field so that you can connect more fully to those energies and bring them more into your life. The Quickening series, the purpose, it's working through the chakra system, it's working through the mental, emotional, physical bodies. It's about going through the process of expanding your direct experience of divinity. It has been very powerful so far. We're not done yet. But it's an extremely powerful process, especially for those who are doing the deepening. And that's also part of the prize here. And, again, as with the Gateway Activations, if you were to win the Quickening and you're already doing the Quickening, you could choose to switch to the Gateway Activation Prize, or you could choose to switch to the final prize I'm going to offer here. And that final one is what I'm going to call a one-year mystery school. Now, many people who come and do the channeling, their focus is on fixing a certain problem when they're coming in for a session. But I have a number of clients, I've had clients through the years, other clients who've done this, who do what I tend to think of as more of a mystery school approach to it. They don't come in to try and specifically solve problems. They come in to shift their perspective in their life, to shift how they're thinking and experiencing things, to step into a more empowered way to be in the world. And so what I'm describing here as 1 year of Mystery School Oversoul channeling sessions is one channeling a month for the next year. They're an hour-long sessions. You can choose what we talk about, or you can co-create that with whoever comes through in each of the sessions. But this is an incredibly powerful way to approach this work. When we're stepping up in an empowered place, saying, yes, I choose to open more into my power, that's very different than we're coming from that wounded place going, oh my God, I really need help with this. And it's not that in those sessions you can't get help with anything you might be dealing with that is difficult, but it is a different approach. And doing 12 of these sessions, I can tell you, you will be a different person by the end. Now, again, I've been talking about value here. Well, I charge on a sliding scale for those private sessions. If you paid at the bottom end of the scale for 12 sessions, you'd be paying over $1,300. If you paid at the top end of the scale, you'd be paying almost $4,000. Now, that's my scale, between $111 and $333 for that hour session. But I have clients who pay over that. I have clients who pay $400 for their sessions because that's what they value them at. And so the high end of this thing is valued at almost $5,000 for this. So it's not a bad deal. And all you have to do to win it is connect with that phrase and tell me that phrase in an email. And you're entered. And then if you're the lucky one who gets drawn, or if you're the one who gets drawn because you're a really good manifester, then that's going to be yours. Now, a couple of things here, just because I have to do the legal sort of thing. Number one, none of these are redeemable for cash. You take this prize for those first two, the Quickening or the Gateway Activations. You can choose the Mystery School if you prefer. Or you can choose one of the other ones. Mystery School, you're in the Mystery School. Well, I guess you could choose one of the others if you'd rather have that, but I don't see why you would. Anyway, you can't transfer it to someone else. In other words, you can't win this and give it to somebody else. And that's the basics. Anyway, one other thing you're going to need to know. In the subject line of your entrance, I need you to put this word, or this phrase actually, exposing the Masters Within. So exposing, and then a dash, and then 100. Now that's the number, the numbers, the numeral, 100, and then another dash, And then what I want you to do is put the phrase. Put the phrase that is the phrase that you need to know. Now, the phrase you need to know for next week is infinite never. That was the phrase, infinite never. So, send that to me. Let me know. Get it to me by next Saturday at midnight Eastern time. All right. And you'll be entered, and I'll do the drawing next week. And thank you so much for joining me for today. The last thing that we do each week is a little bit of channeling. Let me just check here with Doug, make sure I still have a second to do that or a couple minutes here. Okay, good. Thank you for that. All right, so we'll just do the toning. Allow your breathing to deepen while I do that. We'll bring in whoever's coming, and they will do whatever they're going to do, and then we'll finish up. All right, so. Hello, dear ones. This is Sekhmet, come to be with you today. Welcome. And we are going to do a process here to help you cut through some of these energies, some of these patterns around what you desire most. So pick that thing. Whatever comes to your consciousness, it's not what you think about most, but whatever you desire most is whatever just showed up when we made that statement. If nothing has shown up, then take a deep breath and give yourself permission to know what you desire. And if nothing else, maybe it's the desire to know what you desire. So breathe deeply into that. Bring that intention up. And imagine yourself now. Take a deep breath and imagine yourself now as if you were an Egyptian mummy, or as if you were inside a cocoon or a chrysalis. Allow yourself to feel constriction surrounding you, holding you from expressing yourself, from moving freely in the way you desire to go. Just imagine this. And as we bring in the sound piece here, as we bring it in, allow yourself to feel these constraints being cut away from you, being released, and allow yourself to breathe in deeply and feel yourself expanding, opening up, stretching, allowing yourself to come out of that cocoon, to become that butterfly, to become that moth, to become that new light being. Sit with that. Sit with that and allow the transformation to continue as this energy falls away from you. Much love, dear ones. Namaste. Thank you, Sekhmet. And Doug, you can start those chimes whenever you're ready. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me to co-create this week. And send me your entrance. I'd love to have you join in, and maybe you'll be the winner. Well, I do intend to be back same time, same place next week. I hope that you'll join me. I hope you have a marvelous week in between. Much love to each and every one of you, my friends. Namaste.